This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.
Hey friends, this is Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network and of course The Greater Reset. And today I'm bringing you a short but interesting, important interview with one of our guests who's going to be speaking at The Greater Reset, Charles Eisenstein. I wanted to just talk to you today to bring you to my audience, introduce maybe to some who haven't seen some of the work and things that you've been involved in, and also maybe just tease a little bit of what you want to share at the what we're calling an activation rather than a conference. But how are you doing today?
Doing all right. Thank you for saying in advance that it's going to be an interesting conversation. I hope I can live up to that.
I think you'll live up to that just fine. Yeah, I appreciate you joining us. Just go ahead, and I know that you're not, it doesn't seem, just from my interaction with you, that you're most interested in promoting yourself, you know, but I do think that you're doing important work. I think you have done important work and you bring out some important questions in your writing, your books, as well as on your website. But for maybe those who haven't been introduced to what, you know, what you've been up to over these years, could you give us a little bit of a background?
Basically, I use the lens of a changing story or narrative, or actually I would call it a mythology, that underlies civilization as we know it. And the idea that I've worked with for pretty much 20 years now is that this basic ideology that tells us who we are and how the world is and why we're here and how change happens and what's real and what's possible, that basic mythology is changing. And all of the systems built on top of it, and even our understanding of who we are and how to live life, that is changing too. The old ones are crumbling and entering greater and greater crisis, and the possibility of something new emerging from the rubble of our own identities and lives, but also on a collective level. And what could that look like? What could the world look like? And how, if it were built on a different story, and what would I look like? And what would relationship look like? And what would money look like? And what would medicine look like? And education? And just applying that to various fields, which is kind of, you know, like a great reset, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I appreciate the work, the interactions I've had with you over the years, which have been brief, as far as I know. We did a panel in 2020 with our mutual friend, Stephen Brooks. And, you know, I've read some of your writings over the years. And of course, I'm familiar with Sacred Economics, but I've always appreciated, even when sometimes I feel like we might personally be coming from different perspectives, I just appreciate the fact that you do offer a perspective that is outside of the main. And I can tell, and I'm sure anybody who reads your writing, that is well thought out, that is not simply just kind of countering the narrative to counter the narrative, but is trying to think deeply about these situations. And we find ourselves now in the last year dealing with COVID-19, and you've obviously written about this and the many, many questions people have, coming from the more conspiratorial side to just rethinking the systems that we have in place and what that might mean for us going forward. And clearly there are folks like the World Economic Forum thinking about the Great Reset and how maybe some of these, you know, these various influential people, you know, what could be termed technocrats, folks who are experts and seen as experts and scientific, you know, leaders, thinking of how they could remake the world in a way that is more equitable and sustainable. But what we're trying to bring forward, and what I think you're going to be able to help us with, is thinking, how can we as individuals, rather than relying on top-down institutions or waiting for the governments or, you know, the billionaire class to remake the world for us, how we can do that in a top-down way. And if just any thoughts you have on that, I'd like to hear your, because I mean, like I said, you've talked about sacred economics, you've talked about rethinking everything we're doing. And how has that shifted or changed or evolved for you in light of COVID-19 and everything else we got going on?
I mean, one thing that COVID has shown us is is the magnitude of change that is possible in a short time when there is some unity in society, horizontally and vertically, you know, unity of the people and the elites. For better or for worse, there has been at least some degree of unity in saying that we should make radical changes to our way of life, like, you know, doing everything online, not traveling, not meeting in person, et cetera, all of the COVID-19 stuff. That degree of change had seemed impossible up until recently. Now, so that suggests the possibility for other changes. Now, different forces would like that change to look different ways. And it's quite understandable that the COVID-19 phenomenon will be co-opted or hijacked by various players in order to serve their own interests. I mean, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I'm doing it too, you know, like everyone's like, oh, okay. Now, since we've kind of interrupted normality, here's the direction we should go. So some people want to take it in a technological transhuman direction. Others might apply it to the environment. Others might apply it to race relations. I mean, there's so many ways that you could embark on, but that I in one of my essays, I used the metaphor of a crossroads with 100 paths, not just a crossroads, but 100 paths radiating out before us. And this, so even it doesn't only apply to the collective level, the political level, but also to the personal level. When normality has been interrupted or maybe obliterated, it naturally occurs, who am I? How do I want to live the rest of my life? Like this happened to me. I had been in the grip of a certain way of life around my work that was having me travel all the time and speak at conferences and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden that's gone. So do I really want to go back to that, even if it becomes available? Or do I want to do something else? I think many people are familiar with this kind of questioning. Certainly not everybody, but many of us have had this opportunity to reconsider what we want for our lives. And the same thing when we talk about the Great Reset and the Greater Reset, this is the same impulse that is expressed on a collective level, a political level. So, yeah.
I agree with you there that in, you know, for one, I can kind of resonate with what you're talking about as far as like traveling, like speaking at Envision, just as an example, speaking at these different places. And I had already asked myself prior to COVID-19. In fact, we were at Envision in February of last year, right before everything started to happen. And I remember kind of asking myself and the people I'm speaking to at this event or any event, do you guys just want to keep doing this every year? Or are we actually after change? You know, am I just going to keep getting invited? And it's great. Yeah, I'll go hang out in the jungle and have a good time. And that's wonderful. But I know that yourself and myself and many others really do want genuine change. And so it has been a moment to kind of reflect and say, okay, was I really being effective doing that? Is that something I want to go back to? Or is there a way to, you know, reset or rethink everything we're doing? So it is true that there's this momentum that's already there. And that was kind of the impetus for us putting this event on, is that we recognize that there's trillions of dollars being pushed into resetting, redirecting the world. And as you said, people are coming at it in different ways, environmental, financial, racial, you know, whatever it may be. And we want to be a part of that conversation. The people who are going to be a part of this event, you obviously. And I think that that's important for us, instead of to be kind of passive or maybe stuck in fear or letting somebody else drive the direction that our world's going to go into, to take a more active role in how we influence that. And so that's what we're aiming for. And I'm glad that you're a part of that. Could you share a little bit about what you might be speaking as far as your talk? I know you came up with the title, I believe, Jubilee and Beyond, is if I'm correct.
So I guess I'm going to be speaking more on the economic, financial aspect of a greater reset. I mean, we've seen what has happened under COVID-19 is an acceleration of what was happening before. in many realms, certainly the realm of technology, where people were, before COVID, more and more education was happening online. Now that's accelerated to almost all education happening online. More and more social interaction was happening online. More and more shopping was happening online. More and more even dating was happening online. So now, you know, COVID has accelerated that. And another thing that it has accelerated is the concentration of wealth. You've probably seen the statistics about how billionaires have prospered during COVID-19. Now, the overall economy has shrunk during COVID-19. So if the billionaires are having more and more of a shrinking pie, it's pretty obvious, and a lot of people know what I'm talking about firsthand. It means that everybody else has a lot less pie. So when we talk of a great reset, we have to look at this. This is anything that is actually a reset has to reverse that trend, that direction. And we can't just wish it away, but we have to really take this opportunity to look at the fundamentals of the money system and see if the World Economic Forum and all this great reset stuff, is this actually going to promote economic equality? Is it actually going to decentralize financial power? Is it actually going to reduce the power of the already powerful? Or is it going to increase it? So we have to examine it carefully. And then if it is not in service to the vast majority, to the 99%, then we need to create alternatives and fight for those alternatives and uphold those alternatives and apply them in every way that we can. So I think I'm going to maybe, go into more detail about what that might look like.
So one other question I had, something that you've done in the past that's been always intriguing to me, and I think the audience that's coming to the Greater Reset, you know, we have people who are going to be talking about different aspects of finance and economics, and these, everybody's going to be like yourself, sort of proposing, what is the alternative to the Great Reset World Economic Forum vision? What are our options for something that is not just go back to normal? You know, because obviously we all recognize that's not sufficient either. Going back to normal, and many of us aren't really that interested in this new normal, right? But I appreciate that you've explored these concepts before. And could you talk a little bit about what you explored in Sacred Economics?
Yeah, I mean, there's the, you know, that would be more than we have time for in this conversation. But the one thing that I'm going to especially emphasize during our program, and that is also a main piece of Sacred Economics, is the system of global debt. The old normal is essentially you keep the debtors indebted and continue to force them to pay. On the global level, that is to impose neoliberal austerity, structural adjustments, and so forth on countries throughout Latin America, Africa, Eastern Europe, anywhere that has wealth that can be exported to the economic power centers of the world. And so basically you keep them in debt so that their surplus productivity doesn't go to them, it goes to you as interest payments. As long as that system is fundamentally in place, nothing is really going to change. There has to be some, and this is not just for nations, but also for indebted individuals. There's no getting around that. We can't, on a finite planet in this age, we can't simply grow our way out of debt. That would be one way to do it. Their income grows so much that the debt burden becomes correspondingly lighter. Well, how does that growth happen? Ultimately, it happens through the conversion of nature into commodities, and people's culture into market relationships. And maybe I'll go into that more when we have our program, I don't know. But that's what debt dynamics drive. And if we want a world that is not about forever increasing commodification and marketization of all relationships and all things, we have to reverse the debt engine. And part of that is debt cancellation. Part of that is a reordering of the money system so that it's not dependent on debt and on therefore on growth to survive. So this is maybe some of the more nuts and bolts aspects of it. It's not just, you know, some pretty philosophy about forgiveness and sharing and generosity and abundance. It also has a systemic correlate that needs to be upheld and championed in the coming political turbulence. The turbulence is an opportunity for all kinds of things to get in through the cracks in the fortress of normality, of the establishment. And what gets in through those cracks as systems of control and as systems of control break down, what gets through? It could be really poisonous ideologies, fascistic ideologies, but it could also be a new and unifying populism. And I think that of all the unifying issues, debt is one of the most potent.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think especially in terms of, again, everything people are dealing with COVID and the way people are more and more, millions of people around just in the United States, but I would say hundreds of millions probably around the world, especially in places that were already dealing with debt in a very real way, are only suffering more with COVID, with the results of COVID and the results of the lockdowns and things of that sort. So I do think it's a very timely issue. And I look forward to you sharing more of the nuts and bolts, because what I aimed for and what my co-organizer aimed for with organizing this and putting together speakers is to not have a bunch of speakers who all believe the same thing. So there will be people who will be speaking who might be speaking in favor of the market as they see it, you know, not necessarily like the government market, but how can we as people come together and organize? And so I think the ideas you're going to present, as well as some of the other speakers, are going to be very complimentary. And I'm excited about the opportunities to figure out how we can really think about these issues in a practical way, not just, as you said, kind of an abstract, you know, pretty sounding language, which is honestly what we get a lot from the World Economic Forum. You look at their website and it kind of pays lip service to social justice and equity and these kinds of things. But I'm excited more to see what we as awesome people, including yourself, can put together. And I think we're going to leave it there for today, guys. Those of you who are listening to this, I want to invite you to visit charleseisenstein.org. I'll put all the links, all his links below if you want to find out more about his work. And he will be speaking on Monday, January 25th, the first day of the event. And we have full 5 days for free, completely for free and accessible to everybody at thegreaterreset.org. So thank you for your time, Charles. Anything else you want to say?
That's great, Derek. Thanks. I'm looking forward to the next installment.
Awesome. All right, guys, until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.
This is Derek Bros. Derek Bros. Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries, Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink.
Fucking hell!
Above all, stay alive. You have no idea.